Amen. Whether you feel that I've done too much wrong in my life. Amen. I've been too bad of a character. That's okay. Amen. God still has a place for you. And don't let it be empty. Somebody say amen. Amen. This morning we want to go to the word of the Lord, Proverbs, the third chapter. Amen. I appreciate my church family. Appreciate your prayers. Amen. Everybody that's been supporting us with prayer and messages of love. Amen. During this course of time with Isaac. I mean, he's still not able to use crutches that much. And we're trying to gently work with him with that, but he's in a wheelchair. Transferring him from place to place is from couch to, or I mean, the recliner to the wheelchair is tough. The wheelchair to the bed and et cetera. It's been very difficult, very painful. But I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. Praise God. Well, Proverbs, the third chapter, we want to read today from the Word. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And I live by this, breathe it, eat it. And is there something in this passage of Scripture that you just can't get enough of? Scripture said, trust. Everybody say trust. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. It's going to fall. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Look what happens when he gets the glory. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hey, wise up. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, when you get to that place, when you recognize your need for God, how wonderful it is to know when you trust God from the bottom of your heart. You quit trying to figure out everything on your own. And you listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that's going to keep you on track. And don't assume that you know it all. But I know him who knows it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Put your Bibles down. Lift your hands, both of them above your head. Amen. Let's pray together.
Lord, we thank you for your power, your grace, and your mercy. God, we want to be able to give it all to you today, God. You hold the keys, God, to everything I need. I praise you and I love you and I worship you today. Thank you for that sweet, sweet power of your assurance. We love and we worship you today, Jesus. Thank you for answers in your house. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. My. Praise God. Today, the message that I want to help you with today, to understand that God has destiny for your life, purpose for your life. And it's important whether or not you're fulfilling that purpose, God has something for you. There's a place, again, at the table of God for your life. Many people have got to the place where they are satisfied with coming to church. I don't want God, amen, to be a part-time thing in my life. I want God to be full-time. Amen. It's kind of like whenever a child, and in our generation where there's a daddy that has weekend custody sometimes, and daddy gets him every other weekend, and but I want full custody. I want God to have full custody of my life. I don't want God to be just my weekend fix. I want God to have me every day of my life. How about you? Amen. And we're living in an hour where there is a plotlessness that exists in the lives of so many people. They're just drifting in life without any direction. There's a plotlessness, and often they move from scene to circumstance. One scene to one circumstance to the next one, seemingly without a purpose. It's like this. We wander from high school to college, from college to our first job. Then we're just dying to get married. Then we're just dying to have kids. Next, we're dying to get them out of the house. Then we're dying to retire. Only to find out we've just been dying. Never have known why we're alive in the first place. I want to tell us today, I want to live for God with a purpose. I want a destiny in my life. Amen. I want the power. God, you're not here breathing God's precious air and God's precious resources for just anything. God has a purpose for you. The machinery of God is not for you just to come and hear a preacher preach today and you just leave and have to wait the next week. God has a part for every piece of his body. Everybody say amen. 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 There's a destiny and a purpose for you. And how do we think, how would we act and think differently if we saw God's hand in the plots of our life connecting one circumstance to the next of the tapestry of his wheel? God has a wheel for you. Amen. I need you to help me preach this morning. I need you to point your finger upward. God, somebody say God. And point your finger at somebody and say, it has a will for you. God has a purpose for you. Amen. The pastor is coming after you today to tell you, sheep, amen, that God has a purpose for you. You may feel like your life is plotless, that you're just drifting along. But friend, I believe that God has his will for your life and a will for you. Amen. It's amazing when somebody realizes there is a purpose, there is a destiny. Hope comes alive inside of you. Purpose comes alive. And the next thing, joy will start permeating your lives when you begin to follow the destiny that God has for you. Amen. I want to just talk to you just for a moment, amen, today about destiny. And I want to tell you, you'll never get to your destination if you don't have destiny in your life. You better have some direction. You better have liberty for God to have his way in your life. But you better be able to say, God, I'm following you. If we're not one that will follow the leading of God, we'll never get anywhere. God wants to lead your life, but we can't be stubborn to the place where it's got to be my way. No, it's his way, folks. I need to learn to say yes to God. Amen. Destiny, purpose. And there's something beautiful. God has given you a destiny. Destiny is the customizing life calling with which God has equipped and ordained us. Yeah, but God has customized your life. There's just one you, but God has something in your life. In order to bring him the greatest glory and the maximum expansion of his kingdom, every Christian must understand that their destiny or their primary purpose in life, which is to glorify God and make his name known. My wife says it all the time. You're here to know God and make him known. I want to know God. I just don't want to know about God, but oh, I want to know God. In order for you to know God, you got to get into him, and God needs to know who you are. I don't want him to look and say, I never knew you. That doesn't mean that there's something with God's thinking. It doesn't mean that God had a problem recalling who you are. But he says, when he said, I never knew you, depart from me, it meant, no, I never knew you to love me. I never knew you in a relationship. Folks, today, I'm thankful that the Lord loved me enough to put me in a relationship with him. Amen. He looked at a nobody. Amen. He looked at somebody that needed something from above. Saint, you ought to be grateful that God cares about you. You're not a missing element. You're not just something out there. God has something for your life. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 6 and 7, kind of uniquely in that little passage of scripture, it says, I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You see, I don't believe that God just has a factory with a bunch of cookie cut machines. He says, you're just born.
But I believe God, every one of us, God has a purpose for. And God is God enough to hear your prayer and answer my prayer at the same time and answer that prayer overseas. Amen. My God's big enough to tend to all the... I don't have that capability.
I'm sitting at my table last night and I'm looking over some stuff and my wife starts handing me other stuff and she starts telling me, get me off track. I got a one-track mind. And it's hard to have a one-track mind on a 40-lane highway. When everything's coming against you and you're playing dodgeball, amen, with 18-wheelers and you're learning to dodge. I want to just tell you, folks, God, amen, is God enough to handle it all. God don't have a one-track mind. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's God that knows it all, who has it all, and can do it all. There's a place for you. You know what Isaiah is saying? He said, don't be afraid. God's with you. He knows how to round up his children from the north and the south. He'll send orders and say, hey, send her back north, south, send her back. He said, I want them back, every last one of them that bears my name, every man, every woman, every child, whom I created for my glory. I personally formed them. I personally put my handprint on their life for a purpose. And I want them. I'm thankful today that God knows and sees and has things for every one of us. Amen. And how beautiful destiny. Destiny in your life always starts when you put God in the place that he needs to be in your life. If we want to find our destinies, God must occupy the central place of our heart, minds, motivation, and actions. You know, we all could quote Deuteronomy 6 and 4 just about in this room, but I need Deuteronomy 6 and 5 put on the screen, brother. We all believe Deuteronomy 6 and 4 that, what does it say here? The Lord our God is what? But I want you to see what verse 5 says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy what? And with all thy might. Hear me, friend. Amen. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 would do you no good if you don't love God back. You can quote it all day and know that there's one God. But if God is not number one, where do you stand before God? The heart of destiny is to serve the purpose of God. God has something for you. I don't believe you can go to heaven. I'm going to say that again. I don't believe you can go to heaven if you're not serving somewhere in the kingdom of God. God has not called anybody out of darkness for us just to sit and do nothing. You better have a place in God. You better be serving somewhere in his kingdom. God has no functionless parts in his machinery. Every one of us has a purpose, and I want the flow of God. Not everybody's called for a microphone. Not everybody's called to be up on a platform, but you're called to serve. Thank God for the prayer warriors in life. Thank God for those behind the scene, amen, that will serve God and reach out the way they reach out. You have a purpose in the kingdom of God, amen, to know God and to make him known. But we have to learn to obey and serve the Lord. Seek his purpose, seek his will, seek his destiny for your life. A while ago we read from Proverbs in the beginning of our scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Your understanding will fool you and rob you. But you need to lean on him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will bring it to pass. Isn't it amazing? And he will direct your pathways. And the Bible says in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Isn't it great? Can you go up, Brother Josh, to the next verse of Deuteronomy 6, verse 6? He said, these words I command thee this day shall be in your heart. Next verse, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. We talked about it a while ago with our ministry. You got to teach them diligently, your children unto thy children. Teach the words. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Your talk ought to be about God. And I mentioned a while ago that in the coffee shops or the restaurants, and I guess in Nacogdoches County, one of the hubs that most of the elder people go to drink coffee would probably be kinfolks. And when I go there sometimes for lunch, I see all the coffee drinkers, the common crowd. I don't go there maybe about once every other month, but it's the same crew, it seems like, that occupies this place. And if I hold a conversation, the general conversation of most people is going to be two things. It's going to be the weather and politics. And they can't fix either one of them. But I want to tell you, the word of the Lord says we need to talk of God. Man, when's the last time you've been in a restaurant and you start talking to God instead of talking about politics? Man, you're not going to fix the world. Even a new president's not going to fix our situation. Only God has the answer. Amen. I have something beyond this world. I have something beyond the USA. I love this country. But I want to tell you, this country's going down. But I have something that's going to take me up. Hallelujah. I have a God of heaven that sees and understands. Hey, friend, if you start studying the politics and the weather, it'll make you depressed. But if you get a hold and you start talking about God, let me tell you what I've read today in the word of the Lord. And there's some that they love their gossip. You go to some groups and they're quick to tell you about everybody else. Have you heard about? And I've been around preachers, that's all they talk about. I have a preacher that will frequently, whenever there's something going on, he will call me and I know what he's doing. I mean, he's always looking for something, some good gossip. I mean, you know, some good bad news about somebody. And so this, through the years, I've learned that. You need to mark those that cause division, the Bible says. So he calls me. And it was years ago when I first came to Nacogdoches. I was a young 27-year-old pastor. And he asked me a question about somebody. And I gave him an answer. And he asked me, he had been talking about this circumstances. And he went back and said that Crosswhite said. You know, oh yeah, I commented. Just a small, brief comment to something he was talking about. But I didn't say all what he said. And he sure didn't tell him that all what he said. That's the reason why you better be careful. Mm-hmm. So this character, I mean, he calls me and from time to time and he starts asking me something. And I say, hey, man, I don't get in all that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for all this petty stuff. I don't have time for all this, you know, preacher politics and who's who and who's not who. That's not me, friend. But I love it when somebody calls me, hey, man, have you been reading? Man, let me tell you what I read today in the Word. Amen. I love when somebody tells me, Pastor, amen, I got to tell you what, this morning in prayer, I felt the glory of God. Man, when you start talking about Him, He shows up. Amen. I'll never forget one day. Amen. I had been beaten up, so to speak. Every angle, the enemy was punching me. I was dried up and I needed something. And I got a phone call. This little preacher couple were coming through Nacogdoches. And he said, hey, is there any way today that your wife and your kids could come and eat with us? So we're passing through and he said, I'd like to buy your meal. God knew that day that we needed something from heaven. We need more than a meal, but we need some holy fellowship. So, we agreed. My wife was homeschooling Katie and Joel at that moment. And we were able to stop for a little bit and meet them in town. Back in those days, that's when Barnhills was here. We met at Barnhills, and when we walked in, that little pastor, he reached out and he hugged us. And he said, "Ooh, God's been good." And he sat down and he started telling me some things of God. And I felt like an old dry dishcloth that had been just hung up and needing something. Pretty soon, as this man began to talk, tears began to roll down his face. And he began to expound on the things of God. And pretty soon, I couldn't hold back. I started feeling something. And before you know, we were all weeping. And we were talking. My wife was praying. My wife was enjoying the conversation. And we were all receiving what God was doing. I'll never forget about 2 weeks later that I walked in Walmart. And there was a little man and a little lady that were checking out. And he got me by the sleeve and he said, "Young man," he said, "I was at Barnhills that day that you were talking to that older couple." And he said, "I watched tears go down your face." And he said, "I couldn't help but hear." He said, "That day," he said, "I heard y'all talk about the Lord God." He said, "I felt chills all over." He said, "It was like there was some kind of presence of angels all in that room as y'all began to talk." And he said, "My wife and I both, we left there saying, there was just something beautiful about that." He said, "Son, don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose it. That day it ministered to me too. All because somebody came to talk about the Lord." Amen. How many times we miss it because he's not in our conversation. Amen. The scripture said, talk about him when you lay down. Talk about it to your children. Talk about it to your neighbor. Amen. Oh God, I want your spirit, but Lord, I want to talk about you. I want people to know that there is a God living inside of our lives. A God of hope, a God of real things, a God of purpose, a God that has a place for you. I feel like I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. You feel dried out yourself. God Almighty has walked in this room right now. Amen. I'm going to stop right here. Amen. Would you lift both your hands if somebody needs to get for God? Hallelujah. Somebody needs to just plug in. I'm telling you, you've been trying long enough. Amen. That the Holy Ghost is here for somebody. I feel that the well wants to flow in somebody's soul this morning. It's been a while since you felt the touch from above, but God has showed up. He's here today. Hallelujah. As we talk about him, he showed up to touch your life. Reach to him, saint. Even tell him, "Lord, I love you. I need you. I need something new to flow through my life, Jesus. I need something real to flow through my veins again, Jesus." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, won't you just love the Lord right now? Somebody just love the Lord. Come on, practice it. Practice it, friend. Lord, I love and I need you. Tell him how much you need him today. God, I've been dry. God, I've been weary. God, I've been, Lord, in need. I've been weak. I need your strength. I need your goodness. I need your grace. I need your beauty. Hallelujah. 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 You feel broke this morning? When I say broke, it's kind of like, I don't know why I see this morning in my mind. Y'all remember them old hand pump wells? They used to pump the water. I can remember one time we went to a place and it wouldn't pump no water. And I thought it was broke. The man that was there said, "No, it just needs to be primed." And he said, "You see that bucket right there? That bucket, it's got a little water in it." And he said, "The last person that used this pump left some water in it for the next person." And he showed me, you pour it down its throat. Man, he poured that little bucket of water down that pipe of that hand pump well. Then he said, "Watch this." He started getting on that handle. And pretty soon down deep, deep, deep in the earth, I heard a gurgle and a little burp. He meant of something happening underneath the earth. Gluck, gluck, Pretty soon the pressure began to build. And he said, keep on, son. It's fixing to happen. Amen. You know what I feel this morning, the Holy Ghost? I hear something. I feel something today in the spirit. Amen. Hey, God is ready for it to happen. But you got to keep pressing on. You got to keep reaching for it. Hear me? The Holy Ghost is here. It wasn't just a few moments. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, amen, that first drip of water, he said, hang on, that ain't the good part, son. Amen, just keep on pumping. Amen, pretty soon, amen, as we begin to pump, I got excited. The bucket began to fill up, and finally he said, get a drink of this. I want to tell somebody, amen, of the Holy Ghost this morning, God has a holy drink for your soul. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. God's trying to get over to somebody. Amen. Somebody's been dried out. I'm telling you, God has revival for you, sir. God has revival for you, ma'am. Hallelujah. There's a holy revival. Amen. That wants to come deep inside your soul. Amen. God hasn't forgotten about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to leave here with a bucket. To take to somebody just like you are. Hallelujah. Let's entertain the Holy Ghost for a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't know what to do, just lift your hands and say, Jesus, I love you and I need you. Hallelujah. I love you and I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you and I need you, Jesus. I love you and I need you, Jesus. I love you and I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 You see what happened in Barn Hills that day? That little couple that came through had a bucket to prime my well. You know, there wasn't nothing wrong with the well. It was me. The well didn't move an inch. The waters beneath the earth didn't move one bit. It was still there. God had moved a bit. But friend, when you start moving and you start saying, God, I need you, and you let the priming power of the Lord Jesus Christ come, He satisfies your soul. I'm telling you, this is not in my notes today, what I'm talking about. I just feel the Holy Ghost, but it's on purpose today because God has stepped here for somebody's destiny. Amen. Somebody, you feel like you have no part, you have no purpose in your life. You're just drifting without a plot. Amen. But hold it. Amen. The hand of God is here today. Amen. God wants that light from the lighthouse to turn on in your life. You feel like you're in the current. You feel like a little boat in a big bad storm in a current of life. You're just drifting without a purpose. But the Holy Ghost is here to let you know that you have a purpose. There's a destiny for somebody. Amen. Oh, and hallelujah. God is here to give that answer today to somebody. You do have a part. Amen. There is a part for you. There is a place for you in the kingdom of God. Amen. You'll never find fulfillment until you follow the leading of God. Amen. You'll find that when a person, God's destiny is this. When people start living with a sense, I've got to keep the well primed. I got to keep the well flowing. I've got to talk of Him. I got to share Him. And how do you serve God? I'm telling you, the easiest way to do it, you start everywhere you go. Everybody you talk to, you prime their well. You share some of your bucket with them. You don't lose when you give with God. You can't outgive God. A lot of times we hang on, but I can't give everything. I got to hold back. Friend, when you empty out before God, you're making room for God to give you brand new. And I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, amen, when you start talking of Him, when you start working and reaching out to people and say, you know, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, it was a little fellow the other day in Sam's. I mean, we're just down where the detergent aisle is in Sam's Wholesale. This guy comes up and he starts telling me about the president. I mean, like, I want to talk about politics. I seen him again. It was at Jalapeno Tree, and just so happened, same little fellow's there. I said, man, I remember you from Sam's. And he started talking again about the president. And I looked at him, I said, man, I got better things to talk about. And he looked at me like, huh? I said, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you what you don't see that God has for you deep inside the well. There's something about it. Amen. Oh, friend, not only is that water refreshing, but it will cleanse the dusty soul. Amen. It will satisfy you and help you and cleanse your life. Amen. Oh, there's something about the waters of the well. You see, God's destiny for you will lead you to fulfillment. When people don't live in the sense that God has given them a divine purpose in life, they become depressed. I'm tired of battling the spirit of depression amongst God's people. Hear me. You have a unique role to play. God don't want you to be a depressed, defiled individual by the hands of Satan, dried out. God has a function for you. God has a purpose for you. Romans says this, for we're as many members in one body. We all members have not the same office. We have different things. But we're one body and every member needs each other. It's easy to start shooting amongst ourselves because things are not going our way. I want to tell you, I need my brother, I need my sister. Somebody said the church is the only army that shoots its own people. Backbite, devour, gripe, division, you name it. Man, I don't need you biting on my sheep. And I don't want no sheep biting on you. God's not leading lions, he's leading sheep today. Somebody say amen. God wants you to have victory in your soul. God wants you to have purpose in your soul. God wants you to have joy in your heart. God wants you to have fulfillment. God don't want you to be a dried out beef jerky. Amen. But God wants you to be a river that's flowing. Amen. God wants something in your bucket that you can help somebody else. Acts the third chapter. Peter and John going to the hour of prayer to the temple to pray. Lame man at the gate. He asks for alms. Give me some money. The beggar is there. He's begging. The lame man had been lame ever since he was born. Peter and John looked at him and said, man, we don't have any money, but such as we have, give I thee. Do you have something to give your world? Do you have something in your bucket to give to your world? Man, oh, do you have something to give those around you? Or is it just the same old thing, weather and politics and gripes? Somebody ask you, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. And you don't have no good to give them. Just answer it and become, no. How you doing? Man, the Lord's been good. Let me tell you what God's doing for me. When they ask me, they're opening the door for me to give them an answer. You mean, what do you have to give your world? And it's amazing whenever the destiny in your life, when you start realizing that God will fuel your life and he will fulfill your destiny, your purpose in life, you'll be impacted. You start impacting other people. The Bible says in Acts 13th chapter, it talks about King David fulfilled his God-given purpose and his generation. And you look at it in Acts 13th chapter, verse 36. For David, after he served the purpose of God in his generation, then he died. It was amazing. David died, but he left something. That eternal impact. Let me tell you about the story of Lila. A little girl named Lila lived in a country village. Just a little bitty, simple, humble place. Lila had parents that did not live for God, and Lila knew nothing about God. And she was a curious type of little girl that would like to look at things. I mean, she would pick up a rock and she would observe it and look at it. And she'd look at leaves and collect flowers. And she's just a typical little girl with curiosity. And one day she was wandering in her little village. And she came on this little cottage with a window open. And she could hear a little noise coming out of it. And she didn't know what this lady was. It almost like a humming, singing, talking, something was coming out of that little hut, little cottage, basically. Wasn't nothing fancy. And Lila, she kind of peeked in, and she could see an older lady in a rocking chair. And the rocking chair was facing the window, and that little lady was making that noise, rocking back and forth. Well, Lila didn't know it. But this little lady named Agnes was praying. Lila went on, and curiosity, the next day got her back over there, that little cottage. The window was open again, and she could hear that little certain sound of that lady praying. Lila was confused. She had never heard anybody pray, never seen anybody pray. But inside, she looked, and she seen a little lady, wrinkled hands lifted up above her head. She thought, what is she doing? Lila would sneak a stare at this lady every day through that window. It happened, and finally one day, that little voice, crackle old voice from the inside said, well, hi there, young lady. Lila stopped. She was afraid and embarrassed because she got caught spying. No, the little lady said, so good to see you. She said, I've been seeing you come by. She said, my name is Agnes. Lila dropped her head and said, well, my name is Lila. She said, I live down the road. My daddy is. My mama is. Well, pretty soon, every day, Lila would go to Miss Agnes's house and find her praying. And one day, Miss Agnes said, Lila, can I tell you a story? And Lila was amazed. Agnes began to tell her little stories. And she said, this is real. This really happened. She began to tell her stories about Daniel praying. Daniel in the lion's den. Little Bible stories about Noah and the ark. About Jesus being born. And little Lila began to observe some things. And one day, Lila heard the story about Jesus dying on the cross and how he rose from the grave. Little Miss Agnes, the next day, continued the story. She talked about an upper room, about people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And she talked about Jesus being right there to help Lila. And pretty soon she said, Lila, would you like me to teach you how to pray? And Lila, curiously, at first was a little shy, but pretty soon, little Miss Agnes started teaching Lila how to talk to the Lord. Taught her about what repentance is. How to repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And one day, Miss Agnes said, Lila, you know, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, just like you fill me with the Holy Ghost. And she had explained what the Holy Ghost is. And she said, God's here to do that today. If you repent of your sins, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Pretty soon, that little girl, Lila, lifted her hands. And she started praying. Tears started rolling down her face. That little aged lady grabbed a hold of one hand and lifted her hands with that little girl. God filled Lila with the Holy Ghost that day in that little house. Pretty soon, Lila would make trips here. One day, Lila said, Miss Agnes, today when my dad gets off, my dad and mom, I beg them to come meet you. Mom and dad comes. Miss Agnes begins to tell them about Jesus. Pretty soon, Mama, Daddy, and Lila are there at Miss Agnes's house every evening. That little lady starts teaching them
Never one time did she say, come to my church and da-da-da-da-da. But finally, one day, while Mama was praying with Mrs. Agnes and Lila and the dad, Mama receives the Holy Ghost. Miss Agnes said, you know, honey, y'all got to be baptized. And she said, my pastor is praying with me about you. Pastor, what do you mean? Miss Agnes said, you know that little church? And they just got the man and said, yeah, I work right across the street. She said, I want you to go with me to church and meet my pastor. They had never been in a church, both couples. They were from a different country. They walked into church for the first time in their life. They were used to going to shrines. They were used to different things, you know, rituals. The man grew up in a ritualistic religion, but he had been to them in years, working there in that little community. That day he walked in a church of a bunch of Lilas, a bunch of Agneses that were praying. And that pastor baptized that little man and his wife and Lila in the name of Jesus Christ. God filled the whole family with the Holy Ghost. Years later, Lila graduates from school. And she ends up in the next town, which is a big city. And she started working in a church there. God gave her a husband. And her mom and daddy moved to the big city as well. They were actively involved in the church. And one day, she said, I wonder where Sister Agnes is at. She drives back, she and her husband and her kids, and goes down that familiar little street. And when they get to the house was no longer there. There was another house. They go up to the church and they talk to the pastor and say, well, Sister Agnes passed away about 6 months ago. We're sorry we weren't able. Back in those days, they didn't have cell phone, telephone. She passed away. We did send you a letter. And she bowed her head. She was sad that she missed Sister Agnes's funeral. The pastor looked at her and he said, but you know when Sister Agnes was dying? She told me to tell you. She'll see you on the other side. I'm thankful for there's some Agneses in life. Amen. That know how to lead people. Amen. It's not all about this building. It's about the God that we serve. Amen. Friend, I want to tell you, you better start little. You better start little by taking your little bucket and gradually pour it in that well. And you start working that handle. You start working it gradually. If you've got grandchildren, amen. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, I got two grandbabies, but they know Deuteronomy 6 and 4, both of them. Amen. I would say to Asher ever since he was born, hear, O Asher, the Lord thy God is one. He may not understand everything yet, but I'm trying to put some water down the well to prime it. Amen. And now the other one, amen, he's a year and a half old. Amen. The other day I asked him randomly, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. And he looked at me and his eyes brightened up. He said, one. I want to tell somebody, amen, I'm glad I know that one today. That one that has a destiny for your soul. Amen, that one that knows today the end from the beginning has a purpose for you. I heard of another story of a little girl who asked her grandpa for a nickel. Papa, I want a nickel. He reached in his pocket. He didn't have any change. So he opened up his billfold and pulled out a $10 bill. He said, baby, I don't have a nickel, but this $10 bill. The little girl pouted and said, Papa, I want a nickel. Papa tried to explain how many nickels was in that $10 bill, but she didn't get it. And many of us the same. We want a nickel and God wants to give us untold amounts. Hear me, I want to tell you, there's a worth that's more than the money of this world that God has for your life. There's a joy that God wants to give to somebody in this room this morning. I'm telling you, I feel it in my spirit. Even that somebody's been dry, somebody's been dead. You come to this place this morning out of obligation.
You come out of obligation because you know you're supposed to go to church.
But God has come to prime your well, to let the waters flow back in your life.
Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. My. I'm not preaching a funeral message today. I'm preaching a life message for somebody. Today will be your salvation. Today will be the day that the glory of the Lord, amen, comes back inside of your soul and your life. Hallelujah. Saints of God, lift your hands. I need people to pray right now. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is trying to minister right now in this house. God, I want you. Come on, welcome the Lord. God, I want you right here today. God, I want you right here in my life. I want you right here in my soul, Lord Jesus. I want your waters to flow in my life, God. I want your grace to work, God. Well, God, wake up something inside me, Lord. Move me with your Spirit again. Move me with the glory of you, Lord God. I pray for the refreshing of your Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I want you to lift your voice. Amen. Come on, lift voices around this place in love of the Lord. Amen. Lift voices in this house this morning. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. It may be silent in this place, a little bit quiet today, but hear me. The Holy Ghost is here. There is a moving of the Holy Ghost. There is a work of the hand of God right now. There's somebody, God is trying to connect again to his purpose. There's a purpose for you. There's a dynamic that God has for you in his kingdom today in your life. You're not too old. You're not past the limit. God has come to meet with you this morning to refresh your purpose. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me right now? Somebody help me pray. Hallelujah. There's somebody near you, and if it's appropriate, I want you to put your hand on their shoulder. Amen. If it's appropriate, would you pray with them right now? Lord, I pray for the glory of your Spirit. Find us in your house together, Lord. Find us in your house this morning. Welcome in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's things in your heart you need to repent of, right now is appropriate time. If there's some things in your life that you need to get right, today's the appropriate day for you to go ahead and get it straightened. If there's been some bitterness inside of you that you've been hanging on to, I'm telling you, the sweet waters of the Holy Ghost will wipe and eradicate that bitterness when you give it to God. If you got old hurts inside of you that have hindered you from really getting where you need to be in God, God has healing for your life. God has mercy for your soul. If you have felt ugly in your life, the beauty of the Holy Ghost is in this place to minister to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help me pray with that person near you right now. Lord, help us right now. God, in this room, I pray for the glory of your Spirit, Lord, through this place. Lord, Holy Ghost, would you rain? Let the rain of heaven come. Let the flow of your well, Lord, the waters of life flow freely in this place. Hallelujah, refresh the destiny in this house this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to come and gather around the front with you if you would right now. Amen, don't think twice. I want you to come and make your way to the front. Amen, the Spirit of the Lord is here to meet with somebody today. I don't want you to fall back in a rut this morning. Amen, the Holy Ghost just wants you to press your way. Amen, oh friend, he has more than a hem of a garment for you to touch. Amen, he has more than nail-scarred hands that he wants you to touch. He is more than a side that is scarred for you to touch. Amen. Come on. God wants you today to reach and touch him. Amen. Oh, he wants you to know him. He wants to hold you. He wants to draw you close to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. River of life flow in this house. Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody get a hold of the handle right now. Come on, there's something deep down that God wants to gurgle up. Amen. God wants to bring it forth in your soul. Hallelujah. There's a liberty God wants to give you back in your soul, friend. Saint of God, God wants to refresh your prayer life. God wants to refresh your relationship. Come on, talk to him. He's here today. Hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have your way. Hallelujah. 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 I need you, Lord. Come on, seek him. Search for him. Reach to him. He's here. He's here. His hands are here for you. It's not over. Your life is not done. There's a purpose for you. There's a destiny God has. Shall be open to you. Hallelujah. Oh, he hasn't given up on you.
There is a river.
It flows.
That flows from deep within. There is a fountain.
Vast supply come
there
over your life.
Is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
Oh, the Lord's here. Would you help me pray with somebody near you? If it's okay. You see somebody praying and you're not praying with somebody. Come on, let God use you.
That flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin.
There's a vast
supply. There is a river Spirit will descend, and from your inner being, a river with no end. There is a from